You're listening to Waiheke Radio. We've got a special little feature now to mark Anzac Day. Anzac Day, of course, marking the service and the contribution and sacrifice of many New Zealanders and Australians. But over recent times, Anzac Day has come to signify a lot more, really looking at the whole impact of war and conflict on society, not only here in New Zealand, but throughout the war. And I think as well an acknowledgement and recognition of the impact that those wars have on civilian populations. So in that kind of vein, we've invited in a fairly prominent Waiheke citizen, Kara Nelson, to be with us here this afternoon. Good afternoon, Kara. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm well, thank you.
Now, Kara, you were recently in here talking with one of our colleagues, Greg Treadwell, about your memoirs that you've been writing, and that interview is available on the Waiheke Radio website for people to go and listen to, and I highly recommend it. Great talk covering off your life, but also music and many other things. But you, this afternoon, we wanted to kind of talk, I suppose, specifically about some of your experience of war, but that impact of war has led you, perhaps more than other people, to become involved in working for peace, hasn't it?
Yes. Yes, it certainly has. It was when I met Mamie Thompson here many years after the war, and she was a real wonderful peace worker, it became very clear to me that this was so. It leaves an impact that you never forget.
Now, for many in New Zealand and Australia, of course, there was a great outpouring of young people who went off and fought in World War One, World War Two, and many other wars as well. But during World War Two, you were in England, so you were getting to experience the thing firsthand.
Yes, I did. I was 19 years old when the war started, and I was at Teachers College. And then a year later than that, in 1940, I got a job as a teacher and taught in various schools. And most of them were down in the very southeast of England, which, as you probably know, is quite close to France. It was only nine miles from Dover and 21 miles across to France, where the Germans were. So we were very close to things. And it was a hazardous place, really.
I mean, that must have been such a shocking change of circumstances, you know, from growing up, from childhood, to all of a sudden be in the midst of all that mayhem.
Well, yes, it was, because we knew so many people who were leaving home and going overseas and fighting for the country, and the whole situation changed. From young people generally around my age to women mainly, most of the young men are gone.
So that, you know, obviously, you know, everyone's aware that the country's at war and that the men have gone off to fight and so on. But was this an everyday presence in, you know, in your day to day life? Just that awareness that you were kind of right in the midst of conflict.
Yes, it made itself felt. I mean, as a youngster, I was just learning about my job teaching and also experiencing all kinds of things I hadn't done before. But then the war got in, came very close to home many times. We were constantly not air raided. Constantly, but we were always in the path of the aeroplanes from France and Germany to London, and we were underneath that. So our nights were interrupted very often. We couldn't sleep for the noise of the planes. And sometimes when they were going back, if they had a few bombs to spare, they just dropped them anywhere rather than take them home again.
Now, in the writing of your memoir, you've been looking back over that period of time, and you've recalled a kind of, funnily, well, oddly enough, I suppose, a story which has got a touch of humour to it about that time.
Yes, well, it was rather strange, actually. I was living at home still with my parents and my older sister, and we were living in Canterbury, as I said, and one night my sister woke me up and said, "Wake up. There's an air raid." And I said, "Oh, be quiet, go to sleep." "No, no, no," she said. And she took me to the window, and there were, we could see burning and flames. "Good heavens," she said, we lived in Canterbury. "It's Canterbury burning," because we could see when the bombs fall, they land very often on empty buildings, and a lot of the churches were burning. We could see the spires and the towers. And so we went and woke my mother and father up, and "Oh, go away," they said. "We're not coming to it. It's go away. It's just go to sleep." But anyway, we persuaded them to come downstairs. We didn't have a shelter. My father had been in the First World War, and a lot of people had to shelter in the garden. And my father spent quite a long time of his life living in mud trenches and didn't fancy that again. So we didn't have a shelter down below. So we just went downstairs in the house, and we sat around the table. And I remember it was in the dark because we were supposed to have blackout curtains. Well, we did, but not in that room, not in that main room. And so we were sitting in the dark, and my sister's boss had asked her to look after their parrot in a cage. And so the parrot was there. We put it under the table. And after a certain amount of time, we could hear these planes coming. And then we could hear bombs whistling down. And that was really surprising. But the strange thing was, from under the table, we could hear the bombs whistling down again because the parrot was having a lovely time imitating the sounds. And I'm afraid I was laughing like anything, which is something I never, ever thought I would do in the middle of an air raid. But it really was very funny indeed. And long after that, the parrot was making whistling bomb noises, which surprised all the neighbours, because it had a very loud voice, and my mother used to put it out in the garden.
So the parrot will be setting off, setting the neighbours into alarm every time. I guess.
Yes. I remember one neighbour on the other side from us putting her head round the board fence and saying, "Oh, that's you, is it?" to the parrot.
Well, I mean, yeah, it is nice to know, isn't it, that even in those moments of real fear, that people can find humour. Yeah.
Nothing like a parrot doing funny noises to take your mind off the trouble, off of danger.
Yes. Well, thank you very much for sharing that with us. Now, the memoir that you've written now, you're kind of working towards getting that published, and you know, obviously there's any range of great stories from ones like that to your time involved in the peace movement and so on, and many other things as well. So, just remind us again, Cara, how can people get behind the publication of that memoir?
Well, it hasn't been printed yet, but it's getting pretty close. And when it has, I certainly will advertise and tell people where and when. I'll be selling it at the market for one place, and certainly give people somewhere to inquire about where they can buy it.
Great, and I do encourage people to go back to the previous interview that Cara gave just a few weeks ago on the website, and there's more talk about that there, and I think also links to the it's a Give a Little page, isn't it?
Yes,
to fund that publication. So
yes, I'm very grateful for the amount people did give.
Yes,
coming quite.
It's actually closed now. The Give a Little, we've been very. Supported.
Okay, so we've got there. So we're getting close to publication then.
We are.
Great.
It's going to be a great launch in the Waiheke Library.
Well, thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Cara. And yeah, I really do look forward to that publication, and we look forward to perhaps sharing some more stories from it here on Waiheke Radio.
Good.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's Kara Nelson joining us this Anzac Day here on Waiheke Radio. And we'll continue with that Anzac theme now with another local, Katie Soljak, her song Anzac Dawn. This is actually a re-recording of her very popular song, this time with Doug Gerabine and the World Band. It's Anzac Dawn.
Soldiers out.